Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. All righty then. Okay. So welcome Columbus, Phoenix City, Fort Benning, and surrounding areas. And thank you to our producer, Shireen Renee Green. Thank you all out there for listening as I share information and good practices I have gathered from associates, friends, and family on Financial Notes with Cindy Gilliard. A special thanks to our sponsors, Kingstown Family Foundation of Columbus and Empowerment Leadership Academy of California. And we have some exciting news. Starting next week, we will have a new time. That new time will be 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So Thursday, November 5th, same date, just a different time. We're going to move to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So tonight, we're going to talk about COVID-19 impact on households. Been doing, talking with different families and then just looking at different reports that are out there. And I'm going to share just some of the insights that I have found. And we'll see if, some of this information is similar to what you have found. But in a recent study, Primerica found that a majority of middle-income Americans, and I found it interesting that when they identified middle income, it's anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 per year. But the report, they reported that the financial situation had been affected by the coronavirus, and many plans to take steps in response to strengthen their financial future. So while the majority say that they were financially prepared for the crisis, many people, particularly parents and people who have not had a professional financial guidance, they felt like, they really were not prepared. But some of the key findings were 86% of middle Americans have been financially impacted by COVID-19. Now, I know for a lot of us, we're looking at each other, we're looking in the mirror, and we're like, yeah, we've definitely been impacted. 35 to 49-year-olds have been impacted most at 92%. So when we looked at it, they had like three answers. You were impacted a lot / some, and that turned out to be 58%. Not too much. So that was 26%, which brought up to the 86%. But there are 14% out there that said, hey, I have not been financially impacted by COVID-19 at all. That was one of the key findings. Another key finding was 62% of the respondents felt that they were financially prepared. So while most people who have been financially squeezed by COVID-19 they were prepared for the crisis, more than one in three were not. Families with children under 18 were the least prepared. And if you're one of the individuals out there that's doing homeschooling or virtual learning, I know for some associates I've talked to, it has been a challenge. Making sure that every student, every child has that work area so he or she can concentrate and do well. And at the same time, many of us are working from home and getting acclimated to that. So two, three children, husband and wife at home working, one parent home working. That is, to say the least, were impacted by that. So how well prepared were you for the financial impact of the corona pandemic? There were three choices: prepared, not prepared, not sure. 62% prepared, 36% not prepared, and 2% is like, you know what, I'm not even sure if I was prepared for that or not. But the people who had met with a financial professional felt that they were more prepared to deal with the crisis. So the question was then posed, have you met with a financial professional? And the ones that were prepared, 83% of them had met and felt prepared. And then 16% that had met with a professional felt that they were not prepared. Of the individuals who said, hey, no, I have not met with a financial professional, well, 58% still felt they were prepared, while only 40% felt like they were not prepared. So let me just tell you, like, who did they talk to when they did this study? Because I always think that when you do a survey or you do a study or you're looking at it, it's important to know, you know, how many people were talked to and as many of the parameters as possible. So the Middle-Income Americans and COVID-19 Survey was conducted by Chance Research on behalf of Primerica. The nationally representative survey polled 662 Americans in May of this year. And a respondent's age anywhere from 18 years and older, and in 2019 had an annual household income between $30,000 and $100,000. And there's always a margin of error in the survey. So I want to share with you the margin of error in this survey is 4.5%. But there were some other key findings that I wanted to share with you as well. Middle-income Americans aren't sure they have enough savings to support their family through this pandemic. So respondents expect a long road to financial recovery, and many are worried about increasing debt and making household payments. And I think that's a reality for many of us, even if we're in the process of making those payments. And, you know, everything is still, you know, it's going as smooth as possible. Now, it's still a legitimate concern that we have. And so they looked at, like, exactly, you know, let's delve into it a little deeper and find out some of those concerns were. And one concern was increasing personal or credit card debt. 45% of the individuals that they spoke to were concerned about that. I was actually watching a newscast probably about 3 months ago, and it was there was a story, and it was sharing the fact that even though individuals had paid on time for their credit card, they were not at 70% maximum. They had not gone over or anything like that, their credit limit still was cut. So as middle-income Americans, we're worried about increasing our personal credit card debt. Then you have a credit card that's cutting your credit limit. And then there's concerns about going back to work. Many of us have not gone back to work. I know of individuals who are working from home. When they first started working from home, it was like, okay, probably till December. And then they received notice probably middle of next year. But 39% of the individuals polled were concerned about that. And then making your mortgage or your rent payment. I mean, that's a concern. You want to make sure and you want to know and have that peace of mind that you have a place to live and your family has a place to live. And 39% are worried about that. Not having health insurance, 34%. Many of us, our health insurance, our life insurance, all insurance is tied to our job. And many of us lost our jobs through this process. And some of us have bounced back and some of us haven't. So 34% not having health insurance is a concern that people are worried about. Then also receiving paid sick leave. 32% concerned about that. And then another was receiving paid leave to care for family members. Some of us have children that we need to care for, parents that we need to care for, and that's a concern through this pandemic, taking care of them as well as taking care of ourselves. 51% do not expect to have enough money to meet their basic needs past December, and only 38% believe their personal finances will recover from the effects of the coronavirus in the next year. So there's a couple of more findings that they had, and I'm definitely going to go over them as well. So the fourth one, 54% of all respondents are thinking differently about how to manage their money because of COVID-19. And so I know some people, we had a 30-day emergency fund, a 90-day emergency fund, but those that are most interested in new approaches to their finances, because of the impact of COVID-19, they want to look at something different. So I'm going to look at exactly, you know, what the different concerns were there. And those employed in insecure jobs, 75%. They looked out and are like, you know what? And we found out who was considered essential and who wasn't considered essential. But when you're trying to take care of your home, we all feel like we're essential. And then the ones that were categorized as essential, some didn't want to be out in that COVID-19 world. But when you categorize as essential, you found yourself out there. So another key finding that they had was those employed or furloughed, 75% in October. And I have friends, family, associates that have been furloughed. And for some, it's really frightening. We're going into November, and they don't know if they're going to be furloughed again. They don't know what Christmas is going to look like. I have friends right now who they are slated not to have a job in December. So all of these are things that have been, that bring concern to individuals. And, you know, people, they ask the question, what are people doing to manage their money due to the coronavirus? Well, 61% are spending less, 26% added to their savings account, and 25 have created a budget and they're following it. A good friend of mine has always said, just live beneath your means. That's one of the good things, she would always say. Live beneath your means. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about what people are doing to cut back during the pandemic. And then we're going to also talk about what can you do to earn additional income during this pandemic. Thank you for listening to Financial Notes with Cindy G, Cindy Gilliard, a.k.a. Cindy G, and we'll be right back after this break.
Older adults and people of any age with underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. The good news is there are steps you can take to protect yourself and your loved ones. Step 1, keep germs away. Wash your hands often. Stay home unless you need food, medicine, or medical care. If you need to go out, stay at least 6 feet or 2 arms' lengths apart from others. Avoid people who are sick. And remember, wear a cloth face covering when around others. Step 2, make a plan. Identify and talk with someone who can help care for you if you get sick. Have supplies such as medicines and groceries on hand, or find ways to have them brought to you. Step 3, keep up with the situation and health recommendations in your area. If COVID-19 is spreading in your community, stay home as much as possible and avoid crowds. If you do get sick with fever, cough, or shortness of breath, call your doctor right away. For more information, visit cdc.gov. You can reduce your risk of COVID-19 by cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched items and surfaces every day. These items include remotes, tables, counters, light switches, doorknobs, handles, toilets, and sinks. Wear disposable gloves to clean and disinfect. If you can see that the item is dirty, wash first with soap and water or another general cleaner. Then use a household disinfectant to kill germs. Follow manufacturer's instructions for application and proper ventilation to safely use the product. For phones or other electronics, follow the manufacturer's instructions for cleaning and disinfecting. If no instructions, use alcohol-based wipes or sprays containing at least 70% alcohol. Dry surface thoroughly. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right. More than 2 in 3 respondents reported just spending less or planning to spend less. And some of the things they were spending less on: food from restaurants, 66%, entertainment, 66%, and personal travel, 65%. Fewer have had to cut back on personal savings and investing at 30%, or health care at 10%. And 1 in 4 families with children have cut back on education-related expenses by 26%, with nearly 1 in 5 have cut back on child care and college savings. So the fifth finding out of this was those who have met with a financial professional are more likely to have created a personal financial safety net. So when we looked at, so let's look at what we found out. If you met with a professional, a financial professional, do you have a retirement account like a 401, an IRA, or annuity? 80% did. An investment in a non-retirement account like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, 67% did. A life insurance policy you have purchased outside of work, 53% did. Or CDs or U.S. savings bonds, 34% did. So what we're seeing is, if you know, we're all getting through this at different ways. And with a financial professional, some people are getting through it a little better. But with that said, we are all getting through it. And so I want to talk about now, because we briefly touched on this a couple of weeks ago. What about extra income? Have we considered that? Have we thought about that? And if so, what are we looking to do? And so I want to ask you, like, when you think about freedom, what does freedom look like to you? You know, because one thing that we can do that can be empowering during a time like this, it's control what we can control. So what does freedom look like to you? For some people, it's dream home, dream cars, travel, family, friends, education, charities, hobbies. Freedom looks different to different people. For some folks, it's having the ability to take care of your parents, making sure that your children are taken care of. When we talk about education, we're all for education. We're just not all for the student debt. So being able to provide an education for someone and they be able to graduate with no student debt. I guess it was maybe 2 years ago, a gentleman paid for the graduating class at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. What an awesome feeling for that to happen, and for those young men to graduate knowing they do not have any debt to pay back. Well, wouldn't that be great to be able to provide to your children or someone in your family as well? So in order to do these things, I mean, it's possible. We just have 3 choices. You know, we can say, hey, I'm just going to give up on my goals and my dreams, because some of us do that. We get to a certain age and we say, you know what, nah, I'm not going to do that. Or we could ask our boss for a major raise. And, you know, you let me know how that goes. You know, we'll be on next week at 8:30. You call in and you let me know how that went. Or you can do something in addition to your current career. Now, I don't know how old everyone is that listens to us, but in, I want to say 1977, Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in this book, he talked about the four ways that we earn money. And it's like a quad. Like, what? And what side do you want to be on? Because on that left side of the quad is the employee at the top left and being self-employed at the bottom left. And the employee, you know, we have a job. Our income is based on our position. And so, you know, what do I mean by that? Well, simple. You and I, we're working. You get there early, I get there late. You take hour lunch, I take a half hour lunch. When 5 o'clock comes, I'm out because I already packed up at 4:59. But you stay and make sure everything is done. But when payday comes, we get paid the same amount. We exchange time for money. If we want more money, we work have to work more time. And then we have self-employed. You know, you own that job, but you have to be personally involved to increase the income and to grow it. A baker, a doctor, a realist. As you're starting to see, even the doctors are their employees. And when you go see your doctor or your dentist, they're there a certain amount of hours, but it's not a guarantee of what would happen if they can't go to work. I have an associate. She's a great baker, but if she can't bake, she doesn't make any money. On the right hand of that quad, at the top right, is the business owner who owns a system. If we were to go to a restaurant and what we received we were not pleased with, we would complain to our server and or the manager. But one person we wouldn't complain to is the business owner because she or he is not there. And then ultimately, the investor. Well, we have passive income. And we say it's passive because you're making money and you're not even there. You just be a part of the investment. You put your money in, and your money works for you. If you're in a situation and you're like, I want to look at some other alternatives, I want to look at another opportunity, I invite you to take down this number and this email address. And this number is 706-393-6935. The email address is Cindy Gilyard, CindyGilyard at gmail.com. Again, that number, 706-393-6935 or CindyGilyard at gmail.com. And we can talk about some opportunities that are in that are available throughout this nation. So regardless to where you are and you're listening, we can discuss that. So, you know, when I wrap up, which is about what I'm about to do now, I always, you know, say a saying or a quote. But tonight I'm going to take a verse from the Bible. Now, I realize that the listeners, you're very diverse, and everyone is not a Christian, and this is not an effort to convert anyone. But this verse really fell on my heart, and so I wanted to share it. And it comes from Proverbs 10:4-5. Lazy hands make poverty. Diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Proverbs 10:4-5. And, you know, I always like to give a shout out to a family-owned business, a small business, because as we go through this pandemic, we are supporting our, you know, our small businesses. We know that they are going through a lot of challenges that some of the bigger companies are not going through. So this week, the shout-out is to La Nacional Mexican Buffet, which is located at 4403 17th Avenue, and it's also available via DoorDash, too. So as we, you know, we get ready, and we're this week, Well, between now and the next time when I come on at 8:30 next week, there are a lot of things that are going to be going on. Okay, so we have Halloween. If you're going to celebrate, be safe. You know, be safe out there. I know that a lot of us, you know, in the past we've done trunk or treat at different events. So we've done neighborhood trick or treating events, and so. Whatever you decide to do, I've noticed some people they're dressing up at the office, which is something that brings everyone together, more than just a group, but makes people a team. And so have a safe Halloween. And then remember this Sunday or Saturday night to set your clocks back an hour. Now, I know most of our phones will set back, and a lot of our electronics will, but there are some of us, yes, me, we have older microwaves. And if we don't set them back, they're not going to set it back. And then some of us have clocks, just good old-fashioned clocks. Yes, I'm guilty of that. If I don't set it back, it's not going to reset on its own. So definitely that. Make sure we get that taken care of. And enjoy this extra hour, because March or April will be here soon and we'll be springing forward and we'll be losing that hour. So let's make sure we fall back and enjoy this extra hour. And then vote. If you haven't already voted, make sure your vote counts. I'm not saying who to vote for. I'm just saying vote. And if you've already voted, then maybe you can make sure someone else votes. But let's exercise our right to vote. And if you can vote early, go ahead and vote early. In some areas you can, in other areas you can't. Absentee ballot, if you haven't already put it in the mail and you don't believe it's going to get there in a time period, you know you can take it with you and they will destroy it on site. Okay, let me back up. Find out what you need to do if you have an absentee ballot in your area, because it varies. So let me not speak on what works in my area, but just to say, if you have an absentee ballot and you don't think it's going to get where it needs to be in a timely manner, then make sure you take it, you find out what you need to do with it so that your vote can count. So I appreciate each and every one of you for joining. And if you want more information on another opportunity, just cindygilliard@gmail.com. But otherwise, next week, remember we're going to be on at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Financial Notes with Cindy Gilliard. Versus we're just going to move it up a little bit. We're looking forward to you joining us. And we want to say thank you to Shireen, our producer, Kingstown Family Foundation of Columbus, Empowerment Leadership Academy of California. Join us next week at our new time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving on a budget. Have a great week. Be safe for Halloween. Set your clocks back. Get out and vote. And see you at 8:30 p.m. next week for Financial Notes with Cindy Gilliard.
To the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.